Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wrath of the Aeotians podcast. We're two Gen X friends who discuss fantasy, horror, and science fiction books and topics. This is episode 28, a look back and a look ahead. I'm Ron in Seattle. And if you're a millennial or Generation Z drinking Soylent, well, this guy's got something to say to you. It's Jake from Boston.
Soylent Green is people.
Have you ever had drank Soylent? Jake, do you know what that is?
Is there an actual Soylent?
Yeah, there's a protein drink called Soylent that millennials at my work love to drink.
Do they know what they're drinking?
I that's why I told you to say what warn these people what Soylent is.
It's other people.
I'm not even kidding around. Go ahead and look it up. It's called Soylent, and they even make food bars and stuff like that now. So, but it's a drink,
drink. Disturbing.
Yeah, I saw an interview with the then CEO who did not see the irony of why he called his drink Soylent. But I realize they're so young that they don't remember what that was. I don't think he even knows what Soylent Green is. So, which is sad.
That really is sad.
But did you find it? Do you see there's a Soylent drink and they have protein bars? And
I mean, I'm no cannibal. I'm not going to eat drink that.
You know, Jake, I have to admit, one of the millennials at my workplace did offer me a bottle of Soylent, and I drank half of it. And I immediately wanted to go to sleep. It just put me out. I couldn't.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I don't know what it was.
I'm super intrigued by this. So they ring out the people to make the drink. And yeah. Then they throw in like tryptophan or something. It's like squeeze out a human. They squeeze out a turkey. They mix it up and they give it to you. That's my guess.
I don't know. Formula. It's like my Gen X body couldn't handle getting that much nutrients all at once.
That makes sense. That makes
and
a lot of sense.
Yeah. They just drink Soylent left and right. Like I'm like,
you had to pound a Yoo-Hoo after that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's sugar, Snickers bar, anything.
Oh man.
But hey folks, we're really excited to do this episode. I know it may seem a little funny that we're doing a retrospective after just a year, but for Jake and I, it's an amazing thing because I honestly thought if we just did 10 to 12 episodes and we were just done and we had maybe 10 to 15 listeners, I would have said, you know, mission accomplished. This was something when we started this podcast, I just wanted this to be a fun thing for Jake and I to do.
During the pandemic, right?
We still are in a pandemic, but it was definitely raging. It was tough. And Jake and I had seen each other at a friend's birthday party. I already been thinking about starting a podcast, by the way. I had a few topics in mind, and one of them was science fiction. And when I saw Jake again, I just said, he's perfect, but I need to ask him at the right time and do a couple test recordings. And that's what we did in the summer of 2020. And it took some time for Jake to realize that, yes, he's really good at this. And we started recording. And a lot of our friends and family were the ones who were initially downloading our podcast. But I'm happy to report now that Jake and I are listened to in 35 countries and 6 continents. In fact, Jake, if you saw our stats, we just had our first download in the continent of Africa. It was in the country of Kenya. Pretty amazing.
Welcome.
What
continent are we missing, Ron?
Antarctica. And I will talk about this later in the episode, but I'm going to start a campaign to get a listener in Antarctica.
Can we just get one?
I'm going to do what I can. Because I don't know if there's any podcast that's been listened to in all 7 continents. So I'd love
I mean, as lame as we are, didn't you also mention we're in the top 25% or something?
Yes, you're right. We're actually above the top 25 percentile for podcasts downloaded in our host site, Buzzsprout. So
who'd have thunk?
Yeah, so it's really amazing. And again, we want to thank the listeners, our friends and family were the initial listeners, but somehow everyone else has heard from us and they like what we're doing. And we've had great feedback from our audience. So thanks very much. And that's why this has been a very successful year for us and much more than we ever thought. So thank you, listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why we're going to continue to keep doing what we're doing. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for the show, we'd love to hear from it on Twitter. @ofIOceans or thewrathoftheIOceans@gmail.com.
We don't have a whole lot going on in Twitter.
We don't have a lot of Twitter. Yeah, a lot more feedback in email, but less so in Twitter. So we don't have to go episode by episode, Jake, but our very first episode was Gene Wolfe, The Book of the New Sun. And for me personally, I thought Yes, we can definitely do that. Now, we published this in October 2020, but the episode was actually completed back in July of 2020 because we just had various things going on. But in September of 2020, Jake finally emailed me back and said, okay, I listened to the episode. I'm willing to do this now. Thank goodness. Because I didn't think he wanted to do it. But that Gene Wolfe episode, it's a very special episode to me because it's really the first one we ever did. And it was kind of a practice episode, but I knew immediately that Jake was, you know, he was just entertaining. He had, you know, great command of the content. I'd never heard of Gene Wolfe before. And now that I know more about science fiction than I did a year ago, I'm embarrassed about that I didn't know Gene Wolfe, but I'm hoping their podcast is.
And you probably tracked down like and read all of his books.
I've read them everything all at this point. Yeah, I'm a Gene Wolfe fanatic.
I figured as much.
Jake, you really prepped well for that episode. And I just knew that we had a really successful format.
Yeah, well, you know, Ron, that, you know, one thing that I really hate is myself. So I was concerned about listening to myself and being disgusted with my performance. But I realized that it wasn't so horrible. Like if I drank enough beforehand, I could finish an entire episode without being nauseated. For my mind, this has been great. Because I'm catching up with my friend Ron, talking about stuff I love. And this is like, I hate to say that the pandemic was like an opportunity, but it worked out really well. I'm talking to my brother a lot about the show. And good. That's great. We have something to talk about.
Good.
It's just been a net positive for me. I'm really enjoying it. So I got to thank you for coming up with
that. Oh, no worries. It's been a lot of fun. So a lot of the following episodes we did, like the introduction to H.P. Lovecraft, the Seth Dickinson, and werewolves, we really were just trying to figure out what we wanted to do and put it together. But we're getting the format together really well. Probably my favorite episode of our early episodes, Jake, is werewolves. I can still listen to that one. And it's not the best sound, but it's completely hilarious. And I think it really kind of captured what I was trying to do in the podcast.
Trying to get at.
Sometimes a mix of nostalgic memories of The Howling, for example. And then just also learning more about werewolves. And hopefully people that have heard anything about werewolves or a little curious about it got something out of that episode. I think we provided a lot of good information and we were able to look back at some of our favorite werewolf moment. I found that episode to be pretty entertaining. How about you, Jake? What are some of your favorite early episodes?
I like that one too, although I think maybe we're a little remiss in not talking about, I think it was The Howling 3, which actually featured marsupials.
Oh,
so where marsupials really are out there. And I don't think we covered that very well. So
we could do that in a future episode then.
Just where kangaroo peoples or in the actually lycanthropes. The whole idea is global. It's universal.
Yeah.
So we wear jaguars and all this stuff. And we never talked about any of that. Definitely more meat on that bone that we can pick at.
All right, good. Well, we should maybe do a werewolves part two.
But it wouldn't be werewolves.
Oh, yeah.
Because we wouldn't talk about werewolves.
Where marsupials.
We'll just call it where.
Werewolf.
Where castle. Oh, boy. That Marty Feldman. I like the spur of the moment UFO episode we did.
Yes, that was
a lot
of fun. It
just came out of nowhere. Yeah, it just kind of threw it together. Neither one of us had prepared for what we were actually going to talk about.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about my abduction. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. It brought back some real probably positive memories. First erotic experience, you know, all that was just like,
you know, for the listening audience, I won't even mention the book we're supposed to read, but we weren't prepared. So instead of just saying, let's finish the book, then record next week, we decided to record right there and then. Jake and I have had this UFO conversation in college before, and it was a late night conversation. And I definitely learned a lot more in that episode that we did. But that is definitely that is something where if you think about that episode, that's just a conversation between Jake and I talking about UFOs that we happened to publish.
That's kind of a typical conversation between us, right? Doing this at dinner in the cafeteria watching a Star Trek episode.
That's just a hilarious episode. I also like that one because
what do you mean really hilarious though? I don't understand.
Hilarious. That's so scary. Hilarious. Hilariously scary.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought you meant. Sure. Sure. Well, we'll have to revisit that topic again as well, because I think there's been some stuff going on at night.
Oh, yeah. But that's one episode where I was going to say, I hope there isn't a sequel to that episode, because that means you might get abducted this time and taken away in the mothership.
You mean permanently? Like, are you not?
Yeah, like Richard Dreyfuss and at the end of Close Encounters.
They should have done a sequel where he comes back, don't you
think? Well, I always thought that he was gone forever. That's what
I figured they once they're done with him, like it was a ploy, right, to get him up there. So they could use him as like Soylent Green, basically. Yeah. They ate him. That's what happened.
I just imagine Jake putting on a jumpsuit, hopping onto the UFO and hearing that famous music as the mothership just flies away. Off. Yeah.
Building towers out of mashed potatoes. I hope I don't get abducted because I wouldn't be prepared. Wouldn't be packed. I like that one. I think this is like particularly, I just love it because I get to talk about all these things that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah.
Like Harlan Ellison.
Yes.
Like, you know, I could talk about that wacko all day.
That is also one of my favorite episodes, Jake. What I like about it in particular is, and I conveyed this in the episode, is Jake told me about Harlan Ellison when we were freshmen in college. And in a way, that episode is a continuation of that conversation we started long ago, because I had read a couple of the Harlan Ellison works that Jake provided to me. But it's interesting when you're getting into school, like we definitely had less time for leisure reading. And that's probably why I committed to more reading comic books. I honestly had stopped reading science fiction books just because there's just too much to do at school. So, but I like that episode in particular because it was the first time I really got to dive deep into Harlan Ellison. And I really feel like I understand him as an author after that episode. So they're a really fun one to do. And great to hear Jake tell me all about the author and his favorite stories and really explain it to me.
So what I like in particular about the show is that we get to do different things, right? I mean, we have this sort of the kind of initial concept was we're going to discuss a book. You know, it's sort of like a book club. And I like that idea. But I like also that we can move between individual works and authors, you know, an author's whole set of works. We can jump into topics, you know, sort of general topics like our werewolves and time travel episodes. And then we get to interview some really great people. And I frankly, at first, I was very reluctant to kind of go down this road simply because I don't like public speaking. And this is sort of an aspect of that, right, where you have an audience or you're engaging another person. But it really is, if it's working, it's really more like a conversation than any sort of canned or sort of rehearsed stiff public speaking at all. So yeah, I really have come around to enjoy those.
Yeah. And Jake, you're excellent in the interviews. You're well prepared and you're entertaining. I really do feel like you're asking the questions that they don't typically get in interviews. In fact, we got some feedback from the team over at Hunting Bigfoot that they were just pleased that we're asking questions where we had obviously had, you know, watched their film and we had dug in deeper and asked them very specific questions about the creative process. And Jake's, you're excellent at doing that. I think you hear the rapport they built, that Jake builds with the authors. I think with Marina Lostetter, I mean, that's probably my favorite interview because it's just so much fun to listen to.
She was very easy to talk to. Like, I adored her. I thought she was terrific. And that's the kind of format that I'm finding that I really enjoy.
I think your interview with Neil Sharpson is one of my favorites, too. And well, actually, all of them I talked to.
Yeah, they're all great. I mean, Jenny, we've talked to a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, it's great to see her. And I hope we can get her on again when her next book comes out.
Yes, for sure.
She's definitely, it's great to see like her go from her first book to really building up a fan base where people are really excited about her.
Yeah. I'm really excited for her.
Yeah, so it's fun to get on board early with that.
Yeah, we were on very early and it's just so exciting to see how successful The Last Watch and The Exiled Fleet have been. And we were able just, for whatever reason, we chose that book early on. And it's interesting because those interviews at first, we got some moderate downloads. But as the year went on, that episode kept getting downloaded over and over again. So the interviews we have with J.S. Dewis are quite popular. So, and of course, our very first one with Sylvain Nouvel. I remember when we first did that, it was interesting because it's only been Jake and I, you know, when we get in these episodes. And it was interesting when I popped on to we use Squadcast to record our podcast, and Jake was already talking to Sylvain Nouvel, and they were talking for like 5 or 10 minutes before we actually started the episode. But I already knew it was going to be a good episode. It was Jake was developing a good rapport with Sylvain, and it was just so fun to see us with another person. I knew it'd be
He was so interesting.
Really an interesting guy.
And that was, you know, that interview. I was very, very, you know, concerned about that one, right?
Yeah, that was our first one.
Nervous as all get out, and he just is such a fascinating guy. that he really, I think he put us both at ease.
Yes.
In a way that another guest might not be able, have been able to do. Almost with an interviewee like that, just and let him go.
He's pretty accomplished. He could have just said, hey, I'll give these guys 50 minutes and I'm out of here. But we got to the point where we ran out of questions and he said, hey, I can pop open a beer and we can keep talking. And I was tempted. Yeah, we were tempted to do it, but we felt like we had really great content already. And we felt like, well, you know, we didn't want to extend this time.
Didn't impose.
You know, but I look back at us, you know, we should have just kept going.
Yeah, it would have been a great night.
We definitely want him to get back on the show. His new book is coming out in March of 2022. Hey, Jake, I want to rewind just a bit and say one of my favorite episodes was at the start of this year. And that's the Stephen Graham Jones episode. And
we both really love that book. Yeah.
There's two things in particular I like about it is one, I hadn't heard of Stephen Graham Jones. And this is really the first horror book that we read for the episode. We covered horror like topics, but we didn't read a book. And it was so exciting to read a new author and hear a new voice. Well, actually, he's not a new author. Jake's going to correct me here. He's been published before The Only Good Indians. But for me, it was brand new and refreshing and just almost a mysterious book to read. You're in the mind of this character. You don't know if they're going crazy or not, if these things are happening in their head. I think it's so well done. And I really feel like, you know, it's funny when that episode initially came out, we didn't have a whole lot of downloads. And I know he was popular, but that's also been an episode where there's been steady downloads because Stephen Graham Jones has certainly gotten a lot of press in the past year. Mm-hmm. So that's been very popular. And and the second thing I liked about it, I think it was one of the first episodes where finally was very prepared and read the book and I've just absorbed it. When I loved it, it was great. So it was fun to talk about.
What I was going to say. Like that, that really, in some ways, that's sort of a pivotal episode because it's not you just interviewing me anymore, right? Yeah. We're both digging into the content, you know, reading and enjoying it and talking about it. Yeah. And I think really that's the episode where that thing shifted to that rapport. And haven't looked back since. So I've been
forcing
you to read all these books you might not want to read. I don't know.
Yeah. But that, I think that episode in particular is pretty special to me because I think that it almost changes the tone of the podcast. And not that we're not funny or you know, and having good conversations, but each episode we prepare well for. And again, the reason why we prepare as much as we can is because we know we have a pretty extensive listening audience now. So we want to make sure that the audience is entertained, but we're trying to make it sound as spontaneous as possible. We're just trying to be ourselves. We're not trying to force anything. So in that particular episode, I thought we did a great job. And I think every episode that follows afterwards is just all high quality. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, how do you feel being a producer, Ron? So you've come a long way. The last episode that we just released, we actually recorded twice. So we talked about the Dune movie two times and Ron just released that episode. I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, oh, he decided he wanted to use the first one. Interesting. I'm listening to it a little bit longer and there's material from the second one in there. I was like, well, so which one did he do? Am I going crazy? Did I forget how all this happened? But he actually combined the two episodes in a way that seems pretty seamless to me. And I thought it was really clever. And you as a producer have done some really interesting things with the podcast.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, I have to say when we first did the episodes, I really didn't do much editing aside from putting some music into it. But yeah, once we hit past the beginning of 2021, I started putting more production into it, just trying to make things flow, editing things out that when maybe we're going on too long about a certain way, we went off on a tangent and just taking that out, certainly trying to embellish something with music or putting some new music in. Like, for example, one episode I'm just particularly happy about is the Hunting Bigfoot episode because we were able to get film clips to play. And so I think it really enriched the entire episode. It was tough to edit that one because we wanted to get that out pretty quickly. It's amazing because they contacted us like maybe a week prior and said, hey, we're available for an interview. Here's the day we're available. And Jake and I, before we knew, we had screeners to watch the film. We're watching it. And then the next day we're interviewing the director and the executive producer.
So, how are you going to say no to Bigfoot?
Yeah,
you're not going to do that. So,
but we got clips together and I really tried to make an episode that sounded really well. And honestly, we've gotten great feedback from the listening audience saying that was one of their favorite episodes. So, but yeah, for me, it's just been fun to craft an episode and make it the best possible. And again, sometimes it involves some painful cuts, but I try to make sure that each episode flows really well and it's entertaining for the audience and still informative. At the same time, it does make me think about the stuff that I cut. I mean, some hilarious things, or sometimes we goof up and we just start all over again. So I'm actually thinking about creating a blooper reel type of episode for the holidays, since, you know, most people are busy with friends and family at the time, and we usually get a drop in downloads during the holiday period. So I might just release a blooper reel episode for our fans to listen to. So, but yeah,
our name dabbling.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun producing the episodes. And I think sometimes I've maybe tried to take too much time crafting them, but we're lucky in the sense that we do have a good rapport. And I was telling Jake earlier, I know the episode's good when I'm laughing out loud as I'm producing it. So I feel like we've done a good job. And every time I've listened to it, I just listen to what I call the raw tape of what we do. And I listen to it in the car. And if I'm laughing, then I know, hey, we did a great job. And there's some things I want to cut out, but for the most part, I don't think I've ever listened to an episode where it didn't give at least, you know, one laugh from me.
One chuckle. And that's all we really want, is to make you laugh at least once.
Yeah.
During each episode, and maybe learn a little something too.
Yeah. So it's fun to play, have episodes. We have different music and different pacing. Like the Excalibur episode was a lot of fun too.
That was fun. Different tones. I was just looking at the list of our episodes, and that one just kind of popped up. Yeah. And that one was really a lot. It was more fun actually than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's always great to be pleasantly surprised as this podcast has been. Yeah. In a lot of ways, kind of an eye-opener for me. Mm-hmm. But
and another favorite episode I have for one of our later episodes, it's a recent one. It's the Final Girl Support Group and My Heart is a Chainsaw. That was a topic suggested by Jake, and because of the Final Girl theme behind both books. Mm-hmm. And that was a little tough because I had to finish up producing an episode and then read those books at the same time. But once I got near the end of My Heart is a Chainsaw, I realized this was a great idea by Jake. This is going to be a good episode, like even before we recorded it. And it's actually one of our most popular episodes.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, maybe that has a lot to do with the authors. I don't know.
probably.
But it's a good episode. And I think people will enjoy listening to that one. And I think it was ambitious topic that you suggested, Jake, but at first I wanted to pull back and say, let's just do one book because this seems to be a lot of material to cover. But he was very insistent, saying, hey, we got to do both. And I'm really glad you pushed for that, Jake, because that's a really fine episode.
It's thematically consistent, right? And it just so happened that these books were coming out kind of on top of each other, and they're both great. So I think they were both worth talking about. Ron, do you notice that? So we have listeners. Do you think that they're diving in mostly like based on searches for individual authors or topics? Are they, you know, subscribing from the get-go and kind of listening to the whole, or has that really changed?
A majority of our new listeners really in the past 3 months, they're subscribing based on probably recent episodes and the description of the show. So I would say all of them are subscribing based on that. The earlier episodes are certainly based more on topics. So Gene Wolfe and, you know, Lovecraft, those are pretty popular episodes too. And those are one of our earlier episodes, and they continue to download after all this time as well. So yeah, I think that our newer episodes are based on what they've learned about the podcast because we are marketing it through advertising. But the early ones were, you know, I wasn't doing any marketing at all aside from announcing on Twitter what our episodes were about. So, but it's hard to get, I read on Google Podcasts metrics, Gene Wolfe and Lovecraft in particular was found just through Google. So just searching for us. I mean, not searching for us, but searching for the topic. All right. Well, hey, Jake and I, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Wrath of the Iotians. Make sure I say it correctly. Wrath of the Iotians. Okay. I'm Marina J. Lostetter, author of The Helm of Midnight, and you're listening to The Wrath of the Iotians.
Welcome back to episode 28, A Look Back and a Look Ahead. Well, Jake, is there anything else you want to talk about for a look back? Any other episodes you wanted to reflect upon?
I'm just happy to have had all of our guests, and I want to thank all the people who've come on the show for interviews, because that's really been, again, it was not something I expected that we'd be doing, but I'm really glad we did it. Thanks to all of our guests.
Yes, definitely. Big thank you. We really enjoy doing the interviews, and they take time to do it. You know, Neil Sharpson, he came on. He lives in Ireland.
Didn't he have a young child?
Yeah, I think his child was only maybe a year at the most. And so we can imagine he didn't get much sleep, but he tuned in with us at 11 p.m. at his time and was funny and entertaining and engaging. So, and I also just want to, even though his book, I don't think is due in 2022, I just want to invite him back on the show in general.
Yeah, I'd just like to talk to him again, see how he's doing. Yep. And I am very much looking forward to his Lovecraftian horror novel, which is what he's working on next.
Yeah, so it should be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, as a look ahead, I mean, speaking of authors, Sylvain Neuvel, his second book for the Take Them to the Stars trilogy is called Until the Last of Me.
Right.
And that's going to be available in March of 2022. So we really hope to get him on the show again to interview him, but we'll definitely read the book for and have an episode out of that one. So
That's definitely on my list.
So we're going to plan ahead and contact Sylvain and see if he can get back on the show. And that's going to be a lot of fun to read, I think.
So, yeah, so there is some new stuff on the horizon that I'm pretty jazzed about. I won't go all through all Steen titles that I have noted here, but, you know, there are a few that I'm pretty excited about. Michael Golden's Road of Bones, I've already read.
Okay.
He's probably best known for his collaboration with Mike Mignola on Hellboy and some other comics. But he is a novelist in his own right. He's done some really great stuff. And this one's a really interesting story, something of a ghost story, something of a folk horror novel set in Siberia. And I think, it's definitely worth reading. Again, I was fortunate enough to get a review copy of the book and finished it a couple of weeks ago. But that was on my list of things to do.
Okay.
Marlon James. He's a fantastic novelist, writes mostly mainstream literary fiction, but wrote one of my favorite fantasy novels of all time ever, Red Wolf, Black Leopard. It's just amazing. It's really fantastic. It's not set in a mythical Africa, and it's not, you know, kind of eschews all of the, you know, the Western tropes that people are familiar with in fantasy novels, and really like engages in this compelling, interesting, very detailed world from a point of view of an unreliable narrator. And the sequel to that book, or the second book in what I think is going to be a trilogy called Moon Witch Spider King, is due out in February. And I'm really excited about it. Absolutely pumped. Can't wait until February. Well, it pubs in February, so we'll probably see it a little bit sooner if we're fortunate here. That's one to look out for. Thomas Olde Huvelt, who wrote a novel called Hex, is actually a really terrific horror novel set in a town that's sort of insulated because of this creepy roving witch that makes her way around the periphery of the town. And so that's definitely something that I can recommend. But he's got a new book coming out called Echo in February.
Okay.
Max Brooks, whom you should know, you should recognize that name from the ultimate zombie novel, World War Z.
Yes.
Another one of my personal favorites. Just the construction of that novel. I think you lose it in the movie, but the novel is constructed in a very interesting way. And it's definitely well worth reading as a sort of artifact, even aside from it being a horror novel, just really interesting fiction. He has a book coming out in February also called Last Exit. And also had a book that came out recently about Bigfoot that we never talked about called Devolution that I'd love to, when the next book comes out, maybe we could talk about the two books together.
Okay, sure.
Because that's a really interesting take on Bigfoot. A new book by Sherry Priest called Holy Terror. It's actually a collection of short stories. Also in February. So February is going to be a big month for genre fiction. In March, John F.D. Taff is the editor of the forthcoming anthology Dark Stars, which is an homage to Dark Forces, which we've talked about on the show. Another famous horror collection. So looking forward to that. Of course, Sylvain in March. Rebecca Roanhorse's Fevered Star is coming out in April. Alma Katsu, author of The Hunger, which we've talked about as one of my top five scariest novels, is coming out with a new novel called The Fervor. And then we have books coming from Holly Black, one called The Book of Night. That's due in May. T. Kingfisher, What Moves the Dead in July. And Phoebe Wynn, The Ruins in July. I'm looking forward to all of those books. And then, of course, in August, Marina's second book is coming out in her fantasy trilogy. I don't know what the title is yet, but I'm hoping we can get her back on because I just love talking to her.
That's a good point, Jake. I mean, like, for example, like you mentioned T. K. Fisher, which that has intrigued me. So we would definitely love to get her on the show as well.
But that's a pretty good list, some of the books up until the summer. Yeah. I mean, after that, things get a little bit hazier, right? The world of publishing. Yeah, it's a really great list coming up.
Now,
how about you? Do you have anything on there?
Well, TV shows and movies, really looking forward to The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Yeah, right.
Adaption. Talked about that in the past. Can't wait to see that. But there's a whole lot of other content coming out in 2022 to the point where I'm not even too sure if we can even digest all of this. I mean, we've got the Lord of the Rings TV show, Game of Thrones follow-up called House of Dragon, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And, Wheel of Time.
Yep. There is also Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's going to be a Lando movie, TV show, I should say.
I hope it's better than Solo.
I know. So there's a lot of TV content coming out. And for movies, we've got Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder, which I don't think we'd review them. We'd maybe talk about on the show. There's Wakanda Forever is coming out as well. The Flash is what I'm looking forward to the most. That's not till fall of 2022, but
right. I'm mainly looking Michael Keaton.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I'm looking forward about. To Michael Keaton. So,
yep.
Who thought Jake would be excited to see Michael Keaton as Batman again? Because when we first saw it, we said, he's a decent Batman. And now he's like, he's our Batman. Don't mess with him.
He's our Batman. He's Gen X's Batman.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, no, and Michael Keaton is just like, he's gone on to do some great stuff. He's just a terrific actor. So yeah, it's been fun to watch him in anything.
Yeah, he's been awesome. So really, I'm looking forward to seeing him as Batman again. Now, one film I'm not looking forward to, Jake, not that I'm trying to put it down, is Avatar 2. I remember seeing Avatar in the theater in 3D. My son was probably months old at the time. I was somewhat tired when I was watching this film, but it was so hyped up, I had to see it. And I'm glad I did. It was in 3D. It was entertaining, but I thought the story was not very original.
Trite.
Yeah. The whole world completely forgot about Avatar. Unlike Star Wars and Star Trek, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, no one ever talks about Avatar. Does anyone care that there's a sequel coming out?
Ron, I gotta tell you,
he's got like several sequels coming out like year after year. Does anyone care?
I never saw the original. Avatar.
Did you see Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner back in the 80s?
Is this Dances with Avatars? Is that
exactly.
Yeah, I did see Dances with Wolves. Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine that with aliens.
All right. Oh, good. Yeah. That's good enough. I don't think I have to see it now. Yeah. No, I don't know.
The 3D was amazing. Back at that time, which was probably 2009. They said, 3D is going to be like the next big thing in theater. And who makes 3D films these days? Nobody. So
I don't know. They give me headaches. I can't watch a 3D film. For Gorilla at Large, I watched that at home like in the 80s or something like that. With the glasses that you get. Remember, you get them at 7-Eleven or something like that? Yes. And then you watch the Gorilla at Large on the TV. Yeah, that was our 3D.
I don't mean to knock Avatar that much because obviously James Cameron's put a lot of time and effort in crafting these films. But I'm sure it's one of those things you have to see in the theater. I'm just not going to do it. I think the TV shows that's what I'm looking forward to more.
That's where it's going to be at. Well, Witcher season 2, right?
Oh, yeah. Witcher season 2. Yeah.
Witcher season 2. Witcher. It's coming out. Sing.
We're not.
That's how this all started. Ron and I were singing The Witcher, the Sauce Coin Your Witcher song at Bert's birthday party. The rest is history. You guys have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah, there's that. And then did you see the Masters of the Universe, like the He-Man thing that was on Netflix?
No, it was a show.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah.
It was an animated show?
Yeah, Kevin Smith was the showrunner for that.
Oh, I didn't see
that. And it was pretty good. I really liked it. So the second part is coming out.
Okay,
so that's coming out soon. Yeah, He-Man. Who knew? Because there's very little He-Man in it. That's why it's so great.
No. Well, hey, Jake, in the top of the show, I mentioned that the only continent we haven't been in is Antarctica. And
that's true.
It just so happens this summer of 2022 is the 40th anniversary of The Thing, which is considered one of the best sci-fi horror films ever
made. Definitely one of my favorites.
One of my ambitions is to craft a really incredible 40th anniversary episode for The Thing. And hopefully we can interview someone in Antarctica to talk about the conditions
of
Antarctica.
Ron, what a great idea. What a great idea.
Yeah.
maybe we could get, who's the guy who was in Communion? Maybe he'll be out there at some point. Maybe. We could have him call in. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Christopher Walken in Antarctica.
Christopher Walken on, call in. No, you know, it would be great if we could get the guy from this is what happens when you turn 50 again. The guy from all the shows and the movies that I watch all the time. Kurt Russell.
Russell.
Can Bert do a Kurt Russell imitation?
Yeah, maybe.
Because this is Saltwater Wang.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of time to plan for it. I do hope to get someone from The Thing on the show. So
maybe we could get the actual Thing.
Yeah, The Thing.
The Thing itself, to interview The Thing. I would love to do that.
What's interesting, Jake, was just recently Quentin Tarantino was on the Stephen Colbert show and they ended up talking about The Thing. I was already planning a Thing 40th anniversary special and I was so excited because apparently that's one of Stephen Colbert's favorite episodes and Quentin Tarantino declared it one of the best horror films ever made. He said, I have to remind people that people knocked that movie when it first came out, but you look back on it, it's like one of the best practical effects movies ever made.
Oh yeah. And even the Carpenter score, it's just so wow.
Like, the way Tarantino explained it, he said, because they're already paranoid about wondering like who the thing is. And then on top of that, they're in this enclosed space, isolated Antarctica. Yep. That paranoia becomes so strong that it needs to go somewhere. And where does it go, Jake?
Yeah,
it
leaks out to the audience, right?
Yes, it leaks out to the audience. You're absolutely right. And then you're feeling absolutely paranoid as well. So if you have time to check that out on YouTube, listen to Tarantino and Colbert talk about The Thing was quite a pleasure. And so I'm going to try to make that a very special Wrath of the Oceans episode. Hopefully have some special guests on it. If we can't get it, it'll be, at the very least, we will talk about it. Someone who sounds like Christopher Walken will be on it. But that's
fantastic. That's all I can say. If we can get anybody who sounds like Kurt Russell, if you can do a Kurt Russell imitation, please give us a call. Well, you can't call us because we're not going to give you our phone numbers, but please send us an email.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's
why I hope we get. And hey, Jake, how about you? Any dream authors or guests you'd love to have? If you can get anyone on the show, who would be like your actor, a writer?
I mean, Marina again, obviously.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because she's awesome. Marlon James would never be on our show, but that'd be great. Max Brooks, it'd be fun to have him on the show. Yeah. Rebecca Roanhorse, it'd be great to talk to her. Lots of authors I'd like to talk to.
Yeah, you know who I'd like to see is John Scalzi. I'd love to interview him. He's got a new book coming out in 2022 as well. So he gets a lot of love from
I want to say everyone. He started as a self-publisher too. Yeah. Self-published for a while and now he's a household name.
Yeah, he gets a lot of love.
A real success story, yeah.
Yeah, his next book sounds really interesting. I'd love to get him on the show as well. Oh, it's called the Kaiju Preservation Society. I would like to talk to him about that book. So I'd love to.
And we can talk about Kaiju.
Yeah, yeah. In general. Exactly. Yeah.
It'd be a jumping off point.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. So
did I tell you I wrote to Channel 56 when I was in my youth?
No.
I was Channel 10 56. Years old. Probably 10 years old. So it was a local station and they did Creature Double Feature.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that time, I had really wanted to see Gamera fight Godzilla. Mm-hmm. So I wrote to Channel 56 to ask them if they could do that for me.
Yes.
And they never did because they're different studios.
Oh.
But if somebody could manage to come up with a way to match these two kaiju up against each other, Gamera versus Godzilla, I think you'd have something really huge. Really, really huge. Just saying.
Well, Jake, I can write that script for you easily. It'd be done in 1 minute. Godzilla would stomp on Gamera.
I don't know, Ron.
Jake's face right now is high disappointment and skepticism.
I don't know. I mean, you remember the original Gamera was like, he was a jerk, admittedly, but the kids came to love him and he loved the kids.
Oh, that's so true.
He's a force for good in the universe. He's kind of like the Mothra of that other studio.
That's true.
It's not Toho Studios. Yeah, I don't know. Like, he has the power of youth on his side, Gamera does. Plus, he can crawl into his shell and, like...
No, that's true.
Shoot flames out of the hole. Yeah. I don't know how that works. In terms of physics, it seems a little crazy to me. But Godzilla can also fly by shooting out his breath onto the earth, and it just kind of propels him along. This is my way of saying it. I don't know. I think it's a more even match than you might be.
I forgot that Gamera could go into the shell, so that it's high protection.
Yeah, high protection values. Yes. Anyway, anybody, if you're out there, this is the matchup people want to see. Okay, and I would also welcome either Godzilla or Gamera or both of you on the show together, and I'm inviting you right now. Perfect.
It should be fun. My next question to you, Jake, was like, what's the crazy idea you want for the show? And you just told me your crazy idea there. So
get some kaiju, interview some kaiju on the show. Yeah, that's one idea. I just got a million great ideas like that. Yeah. Kind of an ideas man. I don't, what else you got, Ron? You're a crafty one.
Well, I mean, just definitely would like to have another episode where it's similar to Hunting Bigfoot, where we could talk about the director and talk to the executive producer about a show if we're lucky, or a movie. because I thought that was a lot of fun. Again, that episode in particular I liked because you worked on the creative aspects with Taylor, the director, and then in terms of the post-production or technical equipment or the marketing, maybe we could talk to Taylor about some of those things. And
yeah, you're right. All that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And we don't get a chance to, which is sort of the same reason why I asked you a little bit about producing, because you don't necessarily hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all so that
it'd
often.
Be, it'd be fun to get another episode like that. And, you know, and ideally be in an independent movie or an independent TV show, something where people are just putting their blood, sweat, and tears into it. I think of your, like, in Hunting Bigfoot, all the effort that Taylor was putting into his movie and how much work they did, Lee did for marketing was incredible. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to get a similar episode like that. So I'm trying to look for a really cool independent sci-fi or horror film that they'd be willing to chat with us. And I think that'd be a lot of fun too. So, hey, Jake, is there anything you're not looking forward to in 2022? Do you have like your own Avatar 2 where you just say, I just don't really care?
I am kind of a little Marvel.
Okay.
I got, you know, I was well into it. I was really enjoying it. And then they introduced Adam Warlock and they totally botched the character.
Oh.
Totally botched him. And it ruined the game for me. And now I'm thinking they're going to mess him up in the movie. I don't know. I may have been better. The waiting may have been, you know, that may have been not the hardest part per Tom Petty, but the waiting may have been the best part about Adam Warlock, because it's so easy that they could mess him up so easily. So I don't know. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm concerned.
But I understand about being marveled out too, which is, it's in a way, it's a little sad that we're saying this because, you know, we're such big comic book fans. And when I was younger, I certainly was wishing to see TV shows and movies of my favorite superheroes and done in a way that was technically superior and really good storytelling. And we have that. We really do. But, you know, we're not the first people to say this. They're Marvel movies. They have a certain look and feel. And it's the reason why people still go out to the movies now, which is great that people go see the theater. But it's not the same landscape that we had when we were in college, Jake, where we can still watch something like Blue Velvet in the Nickelodeon. I just feel bad that independent directors just don't have same landscape.
True. A lot of that is straight to pay per view. At this point, right?
I mean, lucky us. I don't get to go out that much, so I think it's fun to go in streaming. But it's just sad that people don't think about the movies as this. We're going to take a risk and gamble and live a little dangerously for 2 hours and watch something that's completely. I don't know what the heck is going to go on here. Like when I saw Blue Velvet, I just knew it was a David Lynch film, and that's it. I did not know what I was going to see after that. So, and it's just these days people go see a Marvel movie because they know exactly what they're going to get.
That's right.
Again, I almost feel bad about saying that because I love these characters. I love Marvel. So I was watching Black Widow the other day, which is a fine film, a pretty decent, unique MCU film, but I got a little sleepy watching it too. So
Shang-Chi is coming out tomorrow on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah. Actually, I'm looking forward to that.
Because it's Disney Plus Day or something like that.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to seeing that. Eternals is not getting great reviews. Too bad, because I actually like the Eternals.
But maybe that's a good movie.
There's a good run happening right now.
Yeah, like maybe Eternals is a good movie because maybe it's more appealing to you and I because it's not your average Marvel movie. So maybe that might be fun for us to watch.
I think it's possible, but I do think that the reviews hit on something that I was suspicious of to begin with. Like you have a lot of characters so that you don't really take a deep dive into any one character.
See, I thought about that because Marvel was pretty clever about the Avengers film. They didn't make it right away, as people recall now. We had Iron Man.
Yeah, it was a slow roll, right?
Thor, we had Captain America. Yeah, and then Avengers was the very first film was just like, hey, we're getting together for the first time, but you know all these characters.
Yeah, so they tried that with the Defenders too. Unfortunately, it wasn't very well done.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the Defenders more than the Avengers, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, I had been too. My Defenders were, it was a different team altogether. It had like Beast and Valkyrie and Iceman, and so those aren't even the and then the other Defenders with the Silver Surfer and Hulk and
whoever wanted Doctor to join Strange. Whatever they
exactly it was a rotating cast of characters. But to my mind also like a more interesting team than the Avengers ever were, right?
Aren't they one of the weirdest superhero groups ever where they just, you know, this rotating group? I think the tagline was like the greatest non-team heroes ever.
Submariner was on there. And
there's no Defenders headquarters like the Avengers.
Right.
You know, they're like the Bad News Bears of like superheroes, really.
They kind of are, but also like in a way, like that first group of Defenders, that was a powerhouse team.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You had Submariner, you had Doctor Strange, you had the Hulk, you had Silver Surfer. Like, those
are, oh, actually, like, those are heavy hitters. You're right.
Yeah.
They're people we, you know, the thing is, like, Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Silver Surfer, those are the people you don't get along in the office, right? But they're exceptionally talented. Like, in my world, they'd be the best engineer, but no one wants to have lunch with them. You know?
That's what it is. Yeah. Like, no, I don't want to talk to you.
That's why they team up. Well, anyway, Jake, you're a little marveled out. I get it. I do.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I am right now. I mean, not to say I'm not looking forward to Moon Knight, because I am.
Let me ask you, if you wanted to see any superhero or science fiction film made in 2022 or even 2023, which you think deserves to be made into a visual adaption, but you know that they would never do it because your tastes are too esoteric, what do you think that story would be?
Well, since they already messed up the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, by not including Adam Warlock, I guess they can't do that. You know, they got plans for that, I suppose. Jim Starlin did a similar kind of thing for Image Comics, which was, I think, an imprint of Marvel called Dreadstar that I really like. Like, if you're going to do like a cosmic, like the characters in space and you haven't seen them before, right? Because nobody talks about Dreadstar. That might be a good property to kind of invest in. I like Question from DC Comics.
Oh, I remember this. Wasn't this in the 80s?
Yeah, I like that character. I think you could make an interesting movie with that character.
Okay.
In a lot of ways, he's like Rorschach from Watchmen. Right? He's not dissimilar. Like, he's paranoid. He's conspiracy minded. But he's an interesting character. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally remember the Question. He's got the fedora.
And no face.
The trench coat. Yeah. And no face.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
You know, Dark Horse, I don't know what Dark Horse is doing now. Yeah. They botched that last Hellboy movie was kind of a disaster. Let me think about anybody else. Marvel properties, like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of anything. I really, really, really was looking forward to Adam Warlock, and now I'm not so sure.
Well, Jake, I have some decent news about the Question, although this is going over 2 years old already. Kevin Smith wanted to do a Question TV series. He says, My DC is always the Question, Smith explains. I think that would make such a great series, and there must be a reason why they're not doing it. And I know they've got some weird ownership issues with the character because he came through the Charlton deal and they bought him. I don't know if they include the movie rights or something like that, or TV rights, but I love that. I love the Question. That would be effing great.
All right. I totally agree with him.
Yeah. Got someone like Kevin Smith. Hopefully that will happen one day.
Yeah, that would be great. And I think it's a really interesting character. I didn't know its roots, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, I didn't understand what he meant about the Charlton deal, but apparently that must have been a...
Was that like the Fawcett ripoff?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so there are a lot of, there are a lot of that kind of thing, right? Like Captain Marvel, the Fawcett property, and then DC bought the character and they couldn't use the name Captain Marvel anymore because in that time, Marvel Comics had come out with a Captain Marvel character, who I would also like to see, like the original Captain Marvel. He's another great like cosmic hero who would make an interesting space movie. The Marvel Captain Marvel. Right? Well, we see the DC Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Who can't be called Captain Marvel anymore. He has to be called Shazam, which doesn't really make any sense because he can't say his own name. My name's Shazam. True. Boom. He can't do it. So, you know, I think Live and Let Live and let us have two Captain Marvels. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be just fun.
We get it.
Or like a crossover. Let's just do I think there's probably going to be a Secret War, right? Aren't they building up to that in Marvel?
I think remember so. That one? Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. Yeah, I think they are doing that. So
there was a really good version of Secret Wars with where Dr. Doom becomes a god. At one point in the series, he like rips Thanos' backbone out.
Yeah.
Which is like, it actually is really, really great. I think that, with Jonathan Hickman, 2015 storyline. Like that was really interesting. Yeah. I'd like to see a decent Doctor Doom thing. Like give us a Doctor Doom that doesn't suck.
Folks, we've got, definitely have a lot of plans for 2022. And again, we just want to thank everyone because Jake and I certainly do this for fun for ourselves, but certainly we always approach each episode by trying to craft the best episode we can for the listening audience. And except I really do one. Think from this, from the start, this one, I might have to cut down a little, Jake. This is where, all that stuff you said in the past 15 minutes are going to be cut.
Oh, down, so. Man. No, it's insane. I'm covering the floor.
It'll be in a bonus episode.
Damn. Yeah. I can't wait.
And that no one will listen to.
I can't wait for the cold cuts episode.
So yeah, we try to craft each episode to make it as entertaining as possible. And I really do think from the start of this year, those are all really high quality episodes. So including The Dark Descent, which is one of our least downloaded episodes.
Yeah,
but I like that. I like this that episode.
Great anthology.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, people.
We'll try and make some of these things really happen. And again, we want to make sure we interview authors. I think about 7 of our episodes were interview type shows out of the 25 that we did, or 26 we did for the year. But we mostly center on books, right? That's our forte. But we always have what we call the what else segment, where we talk about TV shows and movies and less depth than the books, but still fun for us to watch TV shows.
I know, and I wish we were doing one now.
Yeah, I could talk about Chucky all day.
Chucky, last episode, right? We did actually with your magical production voodoo that you did. Yeah, Anonymous Animals. I'd love you for you to watch Ron, and just tell me like what you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, that looks interesting.
It's a weird film.
We're running long, folks, but
yeah, I know. But
there are a lot of movies about animals. You've got pig, which is
true.
Antlers.
Yep.
Lamb. Have you heard of lamb, Jake?
Of course I've heard of lamb. I'm waiting for it to be rentable and not at $20.
Yep. Anonymous Animals, which my wife and I saw the preview, and I thought it's fascinating. Spooky. We should watch it. And Christian was like, no way.
My wife like peeked in on it, and she's like, I can't watch this. I can't watch it. Like it's
especially that scene where it's scary. Like a deer or something like in a suit
holding a shotgun. Oh my god, it's not as well rated as I would have liked, but it's pretty great. I liked it a lot, and there's no dialogue in it at all.
Oh really?
All right, so that's all. Yeah, so that's all I'll say about that. And then Spine of Night, it's the heavy metal of 2021 in rotoscope. Yep.
Okay.
So we're not doing the what else segment, but if we were, I would talk about those two movies.
Well, I think Anonymous Animals, it probably deserves its own episode.
Yeah, I would love to hear what you have to say about it.
Do you consider that folk horror?
You could, yeah. You could consider that folk horror, I think, yeah.
I just want to read the description here. The balance of power between man and animal has changed. In a remote countryside, any encounter with the dominant can become hostile. And the poster is a deer in a suit, basically in a hunting suit, holding a shotgun, standing straight.
Yeah, I'm not going out ever again after seeing that movie.
So Jake, when you visit here and you see all the elk in the fields,
oh my god,
you don't want to see that. Me?
Yeah, no. It was bad enough with the Stephen Graham Jones, elkhead woman.
Oh yeah,
now you got one with a shotgun.
In the episode I described, that I have to drive through this area where we see the elk all the time. I shudder a little bit every time I drive through there. Now you can see them up close. These elk, pretty close. And I always imagine, is there one that has a human body on this?
If one of those goes biped, I'm running, right? That would be
Time I was just driving by and we were stuck in traffic and one was looking directly at me. And I just said, oh my God, if you had a human body right now, I'd be totally freaked out. It was like several feet away from me. So scary. Oh my God.
There you go. That's what this show is all about. Scaring ourselves. So we don't sleep. Oh my
god. I'm gonna have a tough time editing this episode, Jake. We started out so good. Listening audience, we appreciate everything, your support. Our friends and family gave us the early support and gave us a lot of great feedback. Special thanks to our friend Bert, who has made some surprise appearances on our show. That he was on the Halloween show, which was a lot
of
fun.
Which ones?
Yeah, yeah. And he's given us a lot of feedback too, so we want to give a special thanks to him. And thanks to all the listening audience. Again, there's 35 countries that have downloaded our episode. We have hundreds and hundreds of regular subscribers. So thank you for listening. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And again, we'd love to hear any feedback you might have for the show. But thanks for making our first year very successful. It's, again, when I talked to Jake about this, I said, if we get 25 people listening to this, I'd be happy. I never imagined we'd have like thousands of people listening to us. I'm just amazed. So I just can't get over it. Every day I look at our Buzzsprout metrics, I just can't believe it. So, and for all the people who are out there in New Zealand and Australia and Germany and England and all over the United States, of course, which is still our biggest segment of our listeners. Just again, big thank you. And anyone else I missed, any other countries I may have missed, there's just too many to name it.
Too many to count.
Jake, any special messages for our listeners you want to mention?
I love you guys. And you let us know what it is you'd like to hear more about. And we're happy to research it, read it, or watch it. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, I think that's the one thing that I'd love more of, just to hear what you guys would like. So other than that, I'm having a great time. So thanks for listening.
Great. Bye, Jake.
Bye, Ron.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode.